Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the 11 o'clock hour. Tyreek Hill is back in the news.
For a couple of reasons, yeah.
Nothing good.
Well, he threw a fit on the sidelines in the Dolphins game on Sunday, and a lot of people are saying he's trying to force his way out of Miami because he is sick of playing there and the team's not going to be very good this year. A lot of people are saying that he's going to try to get himself traded back to the Chiefs. There's a whole debate that we could or talk we could have about cap structure and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
I don't even understand it.
No.
So I'm not saying, I'll just say this. I don't think he's coming back. I'm just going to throw cold water on everything as far as Chiefs fans thinking that that man is going to play for the team again, at least this year. It ain't happening. Let it go. But maybe it should, because his estranged wife has alleged in court filings that he committed domestic violence.
He has
vehemently denied this. According to documents obtained by TMZ, Keita Vaccaro alleges 8 separate incidences of domestic violence in filings related to the couple's divorce case. Hill's attorney said in a statement Monday that the allegations are, quote, part of a shakedown, adding that they're an attempt to generate bad media coverage for Hill.
Yeah, I'm sure she's just making it up.
When has he had good media coverage?
Yeah,
he doesn't typically get it. Other than he was the number one NFL player, I think 2 years ago or last year by the NFL players. Other than that, let's just name the things that he's been in the news for. Not just here in Miami alone. I guess it wasn't necessarily his fault, but he was arrested and thrown to the ground before the opening game. Last year in Miami, that turned into a big deal. But other than that, he broke a Instagram model's leg.
Yeah, that's in the story.
He invited her to come play football against him. And when she made some move like to stop him, he broke her leg.
That's a lawsuit that's in progress right now.
Yeah. He also has had, 12 children in Miami since he's moved down there?
Yeah.
He's like going, hey, Nick Cannon, guess what? This guy can outpace that.
Stopped for speeding and reckless driving. Remember that.
Right. Got into a fight at a marina.
Yeah. So this is in there. Again, this is in the divorce filing. And he has not been criminally charged, which is important to note. It's also not clear if law enforcement is even investigating what's going on. It just TMZ got a hold of the divorce paperwork. And that's what's in there. So again, 8 separate incidents of domestic violence. She alleges the first incident occurred in January of last year, about 2 months after they got married. I didn't realize that it had been that recent, but that it continued after that. I'm not shocked by this. This is a pattern of behavior in somebody who cannot control himself.
And he's not really suffered any consequences for it. Like he's never, I can't remember if the incident when he was in college, did he do jail time for that, Quentin? Do you know? I don't think he did. I think it was probation.
The reason that he fell in the draft so far is because of what happened
because
in college.
And he beat up his pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, the fact that he got drafted, I don't think that he actually got jail time.
Yeah.
But I know that it was a big deal in college because he was going to be a first-round pick because of his obvious talent. But
I mean, it's undeniable that the man is incredibly talented when it comes to playing football. He's still, even at what is he, 30, one of the fastest players out there. You can still see it. But at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, like, when does this stop? Because if he plays for the Chiefs, even like if you take the human element out of it about him abusing women and just constantly being a distraction, mm-hmm. he could also get suspended. Like if you just care about wins and losses, do you want to put another person on the team, another wide receiver on the team that at any point could just be suspended for God knows what?
I'm going to read for you one particular line. I'm on the TMZ story now, mm-hmm. which is detailing these eight incidents because they have the divorce documents. One of these cases was in Southwest Ranches, Florida, at their guest house when Hill allegedly went off on her during a conversation about a post-nuptial agreement. She says he shoved her to the floor, stood over her, then ripped off her necklace, causing a cut and a bruise. 2 weeks later, she claims he got mad at her while they were at a hotel in Orlando. She wrote in documents, quote, violently attacked her, throwing her to the floor, twisting her intimate body parts, ripping her hair out, and grabbing anything on her person that he could get a hold of. Jeez. He attacked her again as they were getting ready to leave for the Pro Bowl, allegedly shoved a marijuana cigarette in her face, told her to get her suitcase and get out of the house, threw her suitcase to the floor, threw her out of the house. There was one where he spat on her, got physical with her while she was pregnant. That's not good.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're making, his lawyer's making this all about money. That she's making these claims in order to get more money out of the divorce.
Because there's no pattern of abuse with
right.
him. You're right.
Right. Yeah. To make eight claims would be like, you're not going to get more money out of him for eight claims versus six. I mean, she's going to have pictures. She's going to have evidence. There's going to be text messages detailing a lot of this.
Yep. So I don't know.
Somebody else can have him.
Yeah.
We don't want him.
The Steelers can have him. He seems more like a Steelers guy at this point. They had Antonio Brown. They can have Tyreek Hill. Maybe he can go to the Buccaneers. You don't even need to leave the state. You could just go over there. Chris Godwin is getting old. They could use him. I don't know. I'll just say also from a Chiefs fan perspective, I don't want him back because I'm tired of my children rooting for somebody like this.
I get it.
I remember when he was on the team, Henry loved him. And Henry said, he looks like a kid out there. And that's one of the reasons Henry loved him. Mm-hmm. So he looked like a little kid playing with adults, but he was faster than all of them. He's just this crazy little munchkin running around with the ball. And I was like, yeah, that's great. You can appreciate how good he is. Don't fall in love with him. This is not somebody I want you to, I'm not buying you a jersey. Uh-huh. I'm not gonna wait in line to get his autograph. That's not happening.
Well, so that's an interesting question then about, you know, can you be a fan of someone who's really good at their job, but then also a really horrible human being?
It's like, it's the classic separating the artist from the art. Yeah. I think you can, but it depends on the severity of mm-hmm. it. Right. I mean, like to me, if you were still a fan of Ben Roethlisberger mm-hmm. after what he did, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I just do. If you're a fan of Deshaun Watson
uh-huh.
after what he did, and I remember I brought that up a couple weeks ago, and somebody was like, he was never charged in court. Yeah, he wasn't. He settled all the cases out of court. On top of that, a judge found him guilty. That's why he served a sentence, or not a sentence, but a suspension with the NFL. He didn't go to jail, but as far as the NFL was concerned, he was guilty of what he was accused of. It's severity and Tyreek Hill's to that point for me, like what he did. And I know Chiefs fans will have a whole lore about this. Well, she attacked him. She was fighting with him. Why don't we get to hear his side of the story?
Oh, you will. And you are.
Right. I get it. But he's an athlete. He's a man. He has more of an ability to hurt somebody.
Yeah, I mean, look at him.
To me, the one that stands out the most, whatever you want to say about a domestic violence situation, and there's two sides of the story, he broke this Instagram model's leg because she blocked him.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
Right. That's not a domestic incident with your significant other.
Things have been boiling over, and they just came to a head. That's I can't stand that this woman humiliated me, so I need to hurt her now.
And that's a... we don't need to get into this, although we have other stories. But that's a, you know, I'm a man. How dare you? Yeah. How dare you challenge me?
As far as, and I'll just say this too, as far as it being a Chiefs fan is concerned too, I don't want him back because for 3 years we've had to hear that Patrick Mahomes isn't any good without Tyreek Hill.
And then,
so what? We're going to give him back on the team and then be like, oh, well, see, he's good again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be better with Tyreek Hill, but that's not the point.
He did okay without him.
Yeah, I think we did fine.
Three
Super Bowls in a row, one MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're fine. I think we're fine without him.
So we'll find out how they end up settling this. Mm. And she's going to get money out of that. But she earns, I mean, they have a child together. So, yeah. He's got the money, but be nice. Be nice to people.
So let's talk about the next thing involving Chiefs player.
Speaking of which, okay, so the upcoming marriage between Travis Kelce, I almost called him Travis Swift, that's funny, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, is raising a question about what CNN is calling kind of old relationship dynamics or tropes, maybe becoming a question again. In this case, it comes to women who make more money than men, particularly the men that they are in a relationship with, and whether that is something that men struggle with. In this case, she's worth $1.3 billion. He's worth a lot too. I don't know. I don't have the number in front of me.
It's over $100 million.
It's a fraction of what she makes. But he's doing fine on his own. And it's raising that conversation about whether men still are threatened by a woman who makes more than him. And it matters more now because, according to CNN, and this was out of Pew Research, the share of women who earn as much as or more than their husbands has tripled in the last 50 years.
Yeah.
45% of wives in opposite sex marriages bring in the same amount or more than their husbands in the United States. Can men handle that? Does that cause issues in your relationship? 913-586-7798. If you're in a relationship like that, either side,
you make more money
where
than
she
your
makes
husband
more.
Or,
I would love to talk to you about it. Because the other thing that came up on Threads in the last couple of days, which I spent way too much time on, is men being threatened in the dating world by a woman that owns a house.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's too independent.
Really?
Yes. This is a thing. I read many of these conversations. She doesn't need me.
See, here's the problem with this. Guys, we've got to unclench. If your partner's paycheck threatens your identity, that's not economics.
Right.
That's branding. That's the household revenue is team money. That's the way I look
absolutely.
At it. And that's the way I looked at it when I was the only one working and my wife was a stay-at-home mom. And I did not in any way see that as that's just my money. I saw that as I make a living talking about my life on air. They're a huge, my family's a huge part of my life. It's our money.
Well, but you're a team.
And we're a team.
You're a set.
Regardless of, and by the way, regardless of what the job was, when I was working in sales, I still felt that way. Like that, it's part of my identity. It's part of who I am as a person. So this isn't just my money. It's money for my family. Whoever scored, if you put it in team terms, whoever scored the points, it doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is the final score.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You don't see the Chiefs arguing about which touchdown counts more. You just see them counting up their wins at the end of the season.
Yes. And yet, as much sense as that makes.
Yeah.
It sounds like we're still struggling with that. I understand it a little bit from the perspective of, for men, your job has defined you. For women, that hasn't been the case for as long, right? Where for women, you know, traditionally we were at home, and for us, the family defined us and being a good mom defined us. And that hasn't flipped necessarily, right? Just because more women started working and working more and working longer and making more, it didn't become where you had more men being stay-at-home dads.
Right.
You had both parents working instead, or both people in a relationship working. So men are still defined by your job, but now she's got a job too.
Yeah.
And she's making money too. And men wondering, well, how am I defined now if not at work? You still can be.
Yeah.
If you want, I guess.
Well, it's just like, I don't know. If Katie made more money than me, I would be so happy. fewer ulcers, more groceries, store brand Oreos.
More security.
More
long-term security.
We can restart the kids' college fund.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it helps everybody. you're not, especially in a marriage. Maybe it's different if you're not married, but in a marriage, why aren't you cheering each other on and like happy for her? Like good for, it's not a competition between the two of you. It's, you know, early retirement for us both. I mean, whatever it is, it helps everybody.
Yeah. I've never understood that dynamic. I also, though, am fairly open-minded about this stuff. Like when Katie and I
got, you are more progressive than
when Katie and I got married, I was like, can I have your last name instead of the opposite? She's like, no. Like that, you're not doing that. And I was like, but your last name's so much. Her last name's Delaney.
Oh, that's cute.
So much better than mine.
That's got a nice little ring to it.
And if our kids would be Henry and Finnegan Delaney, that's like an author's name from like the 1800s. Like those are awesome names. Weir. Ugh.
Could the kids have taken her name? She took your name, but could the kids have taken her name?
Yeah, they wanted to.
You can name your kids whatever you want.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they could choose to do that when they get older. I think it'd be weird if we were both Henry and, or sorry, Katie and John and Weir. And here are our kids, Finnegan and Henry Delaney. 913-586-7798. This is a bit of a challenge for guys. I get it.
Yes.
You call in 913-586-7798. If your wife makes more money than you, how does that work in your house?
And if you're the woman and you make more, how does it
woman,
work?
Yeah, if you're the woman that makes more, is that challenging to your social dynamics? I personally don't understand what the problem could possibly be other than your pride.
Yeah.
You're letting your pride F with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about you, not about, and unfortunately, she is made to feel bad then because she makes more.
Which is crazy.
And she is made to feel bad about her success.
I would be such a happy little, I would put on an
enjoy
apron.
Enjoy it.
I don't, if she made enough money, no, I would still want to work. But if all I had to do was do this and not focus on like podcasting or anything else. Oh my God. Yeah. Put on an apron. I'll do the dishes. I'll do them right. I'll do exactly how you want me to do them, sweetie.
Yeah.
913-586-7798.
You can get made to do them at that point.
That's a good point. Yes.
You hire a staff at that point. You know, you don't have to do anything. Neither does she.
913-586-7798. Your calls and texts coming up on midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The income gap between Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce has raised the conversation again about what happens if she makes more than him. She's fine with it, obviously, and she was fine with it when he made more than her. But when it's reversed, how does that go?
As far as Travis and Taylor is concerned, do you think it's, if you make so much money, it doesn't even matter
anymore?
It
doesn't matter at that point.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, we're rich regardless. Right. I don't need you.
Now I'm richer.
You don't need me. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
913-586-7798. But it is an interesting conversation. If you make more than your husband, give us a call. 913-586-7798. Or if the reverse is true, if you are the husband and your wife makes more than you, 913-586-7798. Let's go to Dakota in Kansas City. Hey, Dakota.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
It's great. Going well. Thanks for asking. What do you have to say about this, Dakota?
All right. So I can give the perspective of before and after, because right now I currently work as a CDLA driver We do local pickups. We're more of like the office, but in a truck. So we pick up locally, we deliver locally, and we get to go home every night and have our weekends. Before that, I was working as an office clerk for the same company I drive for. And even before then, we were kind of struggling with our finances. He made a little bit more than me, but we were also in a state at the time that I could tell that our relationship was really getting on the rocks. And the dynamic change after not only just the change of job positioning, but also the increase from basically going 20 an hour to 30 an hour, the financial dynamic, it is right on the mark of what you guys say. It not only was he beginning to feel, you know, insecure and diluted because now I'm making more than him and I'm able to pay our bills more than he can, but it even got to the point that he started having these insecurities and concerns with my job, which ironically, his concerns were honestly straight to the point of, you know, what if I left home and just happened to have an affair out on the road? But again, keep in mind, I work and stay locally, so the odds of that happening are zero to none. So,
it seems like it just unearthed a lot of insecurity for him, where like he not only are you making more money than him and all those problems, but also now you're going to cheat on me because what do you need me for anymore?
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it could be like that for any job point. It's just, you know, obviously with mine, if I was doing the over the road stuff, then okay, yes, it kind of makes sense to have that concern. But the fact that he knows what my work is, I've been at this company long enough before the driving that he knows that we don't, the most OTR that we do is our line haul guys, which they just go to the nearest terminal connection we have about 3 or 4 hours away.
Right.
But they're just like us. They come right back that same night. They go home, they go to bed, and they repeat it all until the weekend.
All right. Dakota, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Dakota. Yeah, this is a security. I mean, if you're worried that she's going to cheat on you now, that she's more likely to cheat on you now that she makes more money than you because she doesn't need you as much anymore, that's a deep insecurity issue in the guy that was there before.
From the text line, 0371 says, I don't really mind it, but my dad always cracks jokes about bringing home the bacon and the provider. Just tell him your mortgage isn't paid with pride. Like that's you pay it and you feel pride in paying, but you don't pay it with the principle of pride.
Yeah.
Like, geez, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
That's what budgeting for family is. Whoever makes the most money, that's great. It just goes into the fill.
Yeah.
Yikes. Let's go to Bill in Oak Grove. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Doing fantastic. What do you have to say about this, sir?
I'm a retired over-the-road truck driver, owner-operator. I got medically retired in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Literally went to my doctor and pulled my medical card, and I was done, 100% done. And my wife has always worked. We've been married 32 years now. But at that point, my income, I mean, I'm talking, you know, from having spendable money on a daily basis to nothing.
Yeah.
And my wife stood in our living room and said, don't worry about it. I got this. But for me, I prided myself on providing for my family, but I never held it over her head at all. But I'll tell you what, my self-worth, it took a couple of years for me to get back to accepting the fact that it's not really my fault. You know, I mean, it is and it isn't. I'm a recovering alcoholic daddy.
Sorry.
I'm sure that they would trace back. Somebody would say, well, you know, if you hadn't done dot, dot, dot back in your 20s, you might have not been some, you know. But anyway, as far as our structure in our household, my wife just finally retired in February this year. And, you know, but for us, there was never I do better than you. But emotionally and the insecurity never got real bad, but my self-worth took a dump.
I get that. I mean, I've been, you know, between jobs before and you when especially any job you have is reflective of how you feel about yourself and can provide a lot of self-esteem. But it's interesting that you didn't really resent your wife for that, though. It was just because you weren't working because you weren't able to do that.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I appreciate y'all still. Right. I really do enjoy it. I drive St. Louis every Tuesday and listen to you guys on my way there and then listen to Dana Parks on my way back every evening. So
that's
enjoy
awesome.
Your show. You guys have a good day.
Thanks,
sir.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for getting in.
Let's get one last call, and let's go to Robert in Blue Springs. Robert, your wife makes more money than you, right?
Oh, yeah. I retired 4 years ago, and I ain't had a problem with it. I get up and cook her breakfast, make sure she's good when she's working from home. So I don't have a problem with it, and she doesn't have a problem with it. So actually, I think our relationship is a lot better that I am retired.
You know what, Robert, thanks for your call. I really appreciate it. It's such a good point, too, is I consider working to be actually less stressful than, and it's not true for every job, mm-hmm. but it's true for a lot. I consider actually working less stressful than doing stuff around the house.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Cooking and laundry and dishes yes. and all that stuff. Like, I would much rather just be doing this especially this,
absolutely.
Than at home, you know, cleaning the house and, you know, redoing the flooring or something like that.
Yeah, the house stuff is a grind.
It's people don't.
And it never ends.
Right. And it is the old thing about, like, if you want to judge on Mother's Day, like, how much she's doing. Well, here's how much it would cost to hire somebody to do all the things. To
right.
hire a chef,
and
to
a nanny,
hire a nanny, to hire a
housekeeper,
maid.
Yeah.
And I guess the prostitute. It would cost like $100,000 for that
mm-hmm.
or more every year. So it's just, it shouldn't be taken lightly. If you're the person, if you're a stay-at-home husband or your stay-at-home dad, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My friend Brad texted, he said for 20 years, his wife has made more than him. He's had the stable job at the same company and salary every 2 years. She's able to take risks and move up in her career because he has the stable job.
That's a really good point, actually, that it helps everybody
yeah.
that way.
Right.
That especially if one's in a more volatile industry like this one.
Yeah. Well, Katie's in banking.
Yeah.
That's a lot more stable than...
Absolutely.
Anything is more stable than radio.
Right.
Like, let's be honest, but banking is much more stable than this, so yeah.
Love to hear it.
Yeah. No, you're doing fine. Don't worry about quitting. This job's going to still be here, so don't worry about it. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about a police officer. Died by suicide. It's a tragic story. He's the first officer that we've looked at that actually had CTE. How common is this in our police force? Talk about that next on Midday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, and this is Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this next story is tough, and if you have kids in the room, this might not be the most kid-friendly story here. It came to us out of the New York Times, and then WCNC out of Charlotte, North Carolina, picked this up. Study my brain is what this officer said multiple times before he died. I feel like something is wrong with my brain. Something is wrong with my brain. And even when he died by suicide, he had a note that said, study my brain, please. He is now believed to be the first police officer to have a suicide death linked to CTE, which is, as we know, we normally just associate with football players. And you can only diagnose it after death, which we need the science community to put money into this so that we can diagnose it before death.
Yeah.
Figure out the right way to do this. But it's an interesting conversation. The story in the New York Times gets into this, that it's the that you think about the physicality of other jobs than being a football player. And if it's something we need to start looking at with more jobs like police officers.
Well, it could be that's a great point. It could be occupational. I also wonder how many people are just walking around with it, whether they played football when they're young or maybe, you know, had a fall when they were a kid. Maybe they
bar fight.
Yeah,
domestic
got
violence.
Into a fight.
I mean,
any number of I've heard soccer players might have it from heading the ball, which is not exactly a violent sport. But, you know, there's lots of areas this could be affecting people. You brought up a good point when we were talking about this before. Why can't they confirm CTE until after you're dead?
I don't know.
I know because they need to examine the brain, but I'm just saying they can't test for this. There's no other way to tell because the current gold standard is literally looking at the brain tissue under microscope for the disease, for the signature pattern of the tau protein, T-A-U protein, around small blood vessels. Okay, so pathology, that's the only way to get it right. There's no way to do this.
Not to get gory about it, but there's not a way to go through the skull
or
and take a big needle and take some of those cells out.
I mean,
there's not
a way. I don't think
a
lot of people are going to subject themselves.
But if you think that, because he was convinced that he had this,
right?
This Brett Simpson was his name, and we can talk about his history here in a second. He was convinced that he had CTE. If you want the test, which I'm sure would cost a gazillion dollars, then I ask, well, what part of your brain that by taking out those cells, are those cells in the frontal lobe? Like what do we need that part of the brain to be doing that we're taking out in order to study if you have CTE? But it probably doesn't take a lot.
Well, I mean, you can't do this with a PET scan.
Right.
You can't do this with blood spinal fluid biomarkers with, with a spinal tap.
Yeah.
I feel like it just seems like this is such a wide ranging issue that we've seen it with. It's like if you ever played high school or college football, you're almost guaranteed to have it. Like it's 90% of those players who have died, who they've tested their brains, they all had some form, usually very minor, but some form of CTE, which can affect you. Travis, who used to be your producer, used to be my producer when I was here before, he had it. He's sweetest guy in the world, but he would have days where he'd have to be in that studio with the lights off because he was getting migraines from brain damage he suffered from playing college football.
Now, and I look at Aaron Hernandez as an example. And part of me looks at that and go, and one of the reasons I want us to be able to test for this when you're still alive is the symptoms of CTE could be symptoms of a lot of things. You know, they could be symptoms of other things, depression. I mean, a lot of other things can cause mood shifts like that. You know, certain drugs can do it. But if we can, and then I ask, if we can diagnose it, can we treat it? The brain can't regenerate. The brain can't fix itself.
Right.
And so the damage is done. If we find out that you are living with CTE and we know that, what do we do about it? What do we learn from that? Once we know, okay, it's all your mood shifts and all your problems and your problems with lights and everything is because of this problem in your brain. Let me throw a weird one out there. Transplant? Can we transplant brain tissue from somebody else?
I don't.
Can we remove that tissue?
I think that, yeah.
Can we just remove
it? Maybe remove it. But is it specific tissue that's damaged or is it a global issue?
I don't know.
I don't know how you fix it. I think diagnosis is the most important thing here, because then we can start to help to treat that.
You also know what it's not then. You know that these things are not being caused by anything else, that you know that it's this.
And football players have a little bit of an advantage in knowing that if they're having some cognitive impairment, that it's probably this.
I mean, there's so much education about it in football.
Right.
And concussion protocol and all those
and
things.
And now they're wearing those. There's some players, you've seen this, wear guardian caps,
yeah,
where it's an extra cap on top of their helmet, even when they're playing regular season playoff games. But you almost have an advantage because it's like, well, if I'm having these issues, then I know that's it, because it's 90% chance I have it.
Right.
Whereas if you didn't ever play football, I mean, I played Pop Warner, but I didn't play actual, like, in high school or anything. I there could be some gaps in my head. But I did have a couple of times where I was fell and hit my head really bad. I cracked my head open on a railroad tie at a park when I was 5 years old. I got a concussion. And, like, there's no way that that probably doesn't have long-term effects.
Well, and so that, and so again, I come back to, we like to have explanations for things. We like to have diagnoses for what is wrong with us. We don't like it when we don't know. And so whatever your symptoms were might have been attributed to something else because it's something we can diagnose and treat then. What if the treatment doesn't work? Well, then we just try the next diagnosis and the next treatment for that. At least if we knew it was this, we wouldn't be giving you drugs or treatments for things that aren't actually wrong with you.
Right.
In this case, again, his name was Brett Simpson. He was a patrol officer with Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department, started in 2006. In 2011, he became an instructor at the police academy. They said the most intense part of that training was called Red Man training, named after the brand of gear that instructors or volunteer officers wear in fights with recruits. He wore headgear and padding, but would nonetheless return home looking tired and beat up. This is according to his partner. There were not enough volunteers, so he often would have to spar with many recruits. This training happened 4 to 6 times a year, but there were other drills that involved physical contact. A former CMPD officer that they talked to said, yeah, we were always concerned about getting a concussion or getting injured because of shaking or hitting. Police department's not talking about it. Ms. Elliott, who I think is his romantic partner, started to notice small changes in Brett Simpson in 2020 when he was 43. He lost interest in his hobbies, described having foggy memories. By then, he'd become a canine officer. His woodworking tools began to gather dust in the garage. He wanted to stop training for his black belt. He said he would retire early from the police department, even though he'd long wanted to do the canine unit. And she asked him, you finally have the job that you love. Why would you want to leave? And he didn't know. But in the months before, and again, he died by suicide. In the months before he died by suicide, he was convinced this was the problem, was CTE. In the last 18 months of his life, he didn't sleep more than 3 hours a night. Nothing helped, not even the Ambien that he was prescribed later to try to help him sleep. He became suspicious of neighbors he didn't recognize. Stockpiled water and food for a coming doomsday. After work, he would sit on the couch for hours staring at the wall. They said it was like he was being tortured every day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. This is...
You gotta wonder. Like, sometimes we think people are just jerks.
Yeah.
People are a-holes and... Yeah. Or weirdos or whatever. And obviously, everybody's dealing with something. But how much of this is out there?
Yeah.
Where this is just one case of this.
And maybe isn't as extreme as this.
Sure. Sure. But, like, again, if everybody who's ever played high school or college football has a 90% chance of having brain damage from it.
Right.
How many people out there? How is that affect? O.J. Simpson killed his wife, killed Ron Goldman. And I don't care if he wasn't convicted. He did it.
Yeah.
He was at least found guilty at a civil trial.
He stole some stuff.
He stole. Yeah. Right. He was guilty of that, too. And afterwards, you know, he at gunpoint held a guy up. When he died, was cremated.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never have any idea whether he had CTE, but it's probable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost guaranteed that he did. Right? I mean, he played football in the 70s.
This guy was told he had a mood disorder. So he tried ketamine therapy and was put on antidepressants.
Yeah.
He saw dentists, eye doctors, cardiologists. He did blood tests, did 4 MRIs, and there was no explanation. Everything came back normal.
This is why I think if we start thinking about how this could be affecting not just football players, a very specialized thing, but also I think there's also like a tendency to say, well, they're rich, you know,
right?
I would get some brain damage if I could make millions of dollars. Sure. If we start seeing it in police officers, if we start seeing it in firefighters or construction workers, anybody who has a possibility of getting hit on the head and getting brain damage or concussion,
yeah,
or people just in daily life who get concussions.
Yeah.
Outside of athletes, if we're seeing this, then we need to get the testing needs to be better and the treatment needs to be better.
I'm curious, and you can just text in, do you have a job that especially now that you've heard the story,
put you at risk of this,
that makes you worry about this?
Yeah.
913-586-7798.
Yep. 913-586-7798. We'll take your text and talk about it some more coming up on Midday.
Story in the New York Times looks at the life of Brett Simpson, who was a police officer in North Carolina, who was a training officer for a long time that required a lot of really physical training where he took a lot of hits. He died by suicide recently. And his life had just fallen apart by then. And he blamed CTE. The story doesn't tell me if they're going to look, if they're going to do the autopsy of the brain to figure out. But
right.
One would assume so.
So we were asking, like, what other occupations you might see this in. From the text line, I'm a SWAT breacher. I'm assuming that's somebody who knocks down doors.
Wow.
The SWAT team, doors, walls, flashbangs, definitely have sustained damage from it. I was high school fullback, so we already talked about, I'm not dismissing it, but we've discussed, obviously, football's the first thing that comes to mind. Construction demo crew. Sledgehammer, jackhammer, forehead, hammer. There's a lot that can go wrong. Nightclub security. I caught a bottle upside my skull a few years ago, knocked me straight down to the sidewalk. There you go.
Yeah.
Real quick, let's go to Billy in Kansas City. Sorry, Billy, we only have about a minute to go. So if you can just get it in real quick, I'd appreciate that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just real quick, I was on my way from my early morning job to my real job. So anyway, this guy runs a stop sign, and I slammed my head into the passenger side window. So I worked for the city at the time, so I didn't know at the time the concussion. So I go to bend down to pick up rock, put it in the front of the skid loader and everything. So the next thing you know, I'm like really woozy and dizzy, so I had to sit. So anyway, I went into the doctor later on that afternoon and found out that they did all the protocol stuff and found out I had a concussion from being slammed into the window.
Wow.
And also that ties in with working construction and working on the streets and everything, because you hear loud sounds, you get hit with rock, you get bumped, you get bruised up real good. And still to this day, I still kind of have memory lapses and everything like that. But I think I'm okay, but I'm not 100% sure.
Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Yeah, you never know. Maybe we should just all be wearing helmets all the time. I'm saying that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but not entirely. Coming up, Dumb Debates. It's Dumb Debate Tuesday. Calling dibs on a parking spot before the other car is out. Is it okay ethically? We'll talk about it next Midday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.